Like maybe not such a good idea. Maybe, just maybe, we should reconsider some of this outsourcing, some of this privatization, because what's it do? Well, we know what it does. It leads to lower wages, less benefits, worse working conditions, and for we, the taxpayers, still higher taxes and, well, worse services. And, you know, I go back to when I first moved to Allentown, back, you know, years and years back, they had had city trash collection. And then they got this bright idea, we're gonna privatize it because those workers, they make too much money and, you know, keeping up the fleet's kind of expensive. So they went to a private company who gave them a really great deal. It's a fantastic deal. It was like, I think it was like $100 a year the first 4 years. Once the city sold off their trucks and fired all their workers, it doubled, and then it doubled again. And then basically what you end up with is a hostage situation. You think the Sopranos were bad? You think Tony Soprano was bad with the trash business? Well, these profiteers. And now, you know what's even worse? We've got a Tony Soprano now in the Pennsylvania State Senate. Thanks to yesterday's election in the 28th senatorial district, which I got to be honest, I did not see coming. I did not see a write-in candidate, even though he spent tons of money, lots, spread the cash around. I got to wonder how much he spent per vote. I don't know that it'll be Bloomberg range, about $100 a vote, but I'm guessing could be close, since he got like 10,000 votes, and that's, I guess, all it takes to become a state senator. Democrats, where the hell were you yesterday? Only 5,000 Democrats bothered to show up. 15,000 Republicans. No wonder we're getting our behinds kicked. Sad, sad stuff, York. But now we've got Tony Soprano-like character sitting in the Senate, the trash man himself. And you got to wonder, what do you think he would say about more privatization? Think he's going to be on board with the wine and spirit shops staying in the hands of we the people? No. The lottery, our turnpike, our air, our water. I don't think so. Got to be honest, not quite thinking there. Our education system. And today was the day I went over to the school where my daughter attends and did my, I on the grounds of being a religious, pious man, do doth believe that these testing that you are subjecting my child to, it's against my religious values. And I guess you could make the argument, and I do, that the argument is every religion has the ethic of reciprocity, do unto others, all of that, don't beat my kids, all of that stuff. And I'll that's openly, and that's what I'm saying. But on the other side of it, the more logical side of me goes, 12 hours over the next couple of weeks of classroom time taken away from my kid who is struggling in math. I think instruction would be just a little bit better than, here's a test. Don't open it until I tell you. Okay, the stopwatch is going to go. You got 60 minutes. I think I would rather have the teacher standing in front of the classroom going, hey, got any problems? Come on up. We'll work on them together. And then we'll test you at the end of the week. We'll see what you know that afternoon. And then you know what? Over the weekend, if you didn't get it, we'll give you something to work on over the weekend so that you do get it for Monday. Now, these standardized tests that I have opted my daughter out of, results to me, not till next October. June, if I really push, if I'm going to call up the principal in the middle of summer break and say, I'd really like my kid's results, because it means that much now, months after the fact. You believe that? I mean, that's, to me, that's the decision maker. That's the, I had a difficult time going, you know what? I'm going to take my kid out of this test and take a tool away from the teachers to see what she knows. Problem is there's no tool here. There's no diagnostic portion of testing here. And this is the conversation I had to have with my daughter. I'm not against testing. I'm not against at the end of the week of learning this chapter or this problem or that, writing down if you know it or if you don't. It's a good diagnostic tool. The teacher goes, oh, obviously you don't know it because you got it wrong. Let's work on it. That makes sense to me. Putting the entire failure of the school district, of the human race, on the back of a fifth, sixth grader, eighth grader, I got to be honest, kind of dumb. And, you know, I go back to what my daughter told me when they were playing school. And imagine, you got a 10-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 4-year-old playing school like they do. And my oldest daughter's going, if you don't pay attention and if you don't pass this test, they're going to take money from the school and the school's going to close and we're not going to have a school. And I'm going, what? I don't remember playing that as a child. I must have missed that day in class and the memo didn't get down to me, or we just didn't do dumb things like that. I'm not quite sure. I did miss some school. I did. I honestly did. I was one of those children. Sometimes I made it, sometimes I didn't, and then the nun would beat me. And that's kind of how things went, and yeah, I guess it's not a bad thing. But, you know, this is what gets me. You're talking about 12 hours of precious school time spent on these tests. And, you know, while the principal and the teachers and the rest of them, you know, they've got to toe the company line, which is, you know, and this is the best part of it. They hand me this document that I have to sign. It's the testing police. If I dare tell you what I saw in that test, they're coming with the silver bracelets. They're going to take me away, huge fines, penalties. They're going to dig up the nuns that beat me as a child, and they're going to beat me today. Basically what this piece of paper said, that if I share anything that I've seen, because it's, after all, proprietary, all proprietary information, 2 plus 2 is now owned by a for-profit corporation. Never mind that, you know, the teacher could have easily written a lot of these questions up on their own. But no, we've got to privatize and profitize all of our math facts now. But right on this form that I had to sign, someone had in bold, big, bold, black letters, you do know that opting your child out of this test will hurt this middle school. And I go, you know, and I said to the person who handed it to me, I go, that's the problem right there. The problem is that as a parent, you are putting me in a position where I cannot exercise my, now think about this, because everything has to be done on the religious ground, because this is where I am standing, firmly on sacred, holy ground. Come with me here, because this is important, because this is the holy ground. This is, you know, where people take pilgrimages to. So we're standing on holy ground, and now you're telling me while I'm on my holy ground that I'm destroying your school. What about my holy ground? I get your school. What about the holy ground? Now, as I wrote in my letter, because you have to write out a letter, I said, you know, the Commonwealth of this, the Commonwealth only gives me one option, and I do hereby say that, you know, this is my option, but it is kind of dumb that this is the Commonwealth only gives me this one option. And what's interesting is when you tell these teachers and you talk to them, you can see that they're not protesting, because I have to believe in my heart of hearts that they hate it too, that they hate the wasted time, they hate the regimentation, they hate the mentality that, and I go back to my first parent-teacher conference of the year where, you know, I said a B-minus is not a good grade. And the response I got back was, don't worry about it, she'll pass the PSSAs. And I wanted to shoot right back going, well, that doesn't matter to me. She's not taking the damn PSSAs. So at the end of this, I've made this decision. And what I find really troubling, and this is what I wrote in the letter as well, I hope that my decision to do this, based on my sanctity and my holy ground, that you will not hold my child harmless. You will not do anything negative. And the time that she's going to spend in school, because I can't take her out to go do something actually educational, will be spent on doing something actually educational. And I have to hope that I am going to prepare some math problems. I'm going to work on chapter 7-3 and all of these things so that when my kid goes to school, I'm going to play teacher for those 12 hours to make sure that time isn't wasted. Because this is what bothers me. The entire focus of our educational system right now is not making my child.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network. You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network. Listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Thank you.
Listening to the Horn, the head-on radio network.
Thank you. Thank you.
Here we are, a minute past the hour. This is the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. That's where you'll find entree to the chat room. And folks are beginning to wander in. Even now, good evening to our longtime moderators, Lottie and Sparky. Good evening, Texas T. Good evening, R.L. Smith. Hey, Mr. Gibson, and howdy, Jeremy. More folks will be wandering by as the program progresses. This is the 19th day of March, 2014. What a magnificent 2 hours there with Dr. Bill. It's not just shameless promotion when I say this. There is not another block of two-hour radio programming anywhere that even approaches the depth, the breadth, and the import of what Dr. Bill O'Brien does for 2 hours, 3 days a week. Nine times out of ten, as I sit here producing Dr. Bill, I wind up getting my mind absolutely blown. And such was the case today. I guess we could call today the life worth living. And it was. It was absolutely brilliant. If you did not catch it live, make a point of downloading the archive, because it will send your mind running in a million different directions. Really. And of course, that happens every time Dr. Bill gets behind the microphone. There is absolutely no radio happening, anything even remotely resembling the brilliance that Dr. Bill brings to the conversation. Wow. So, I do know what today is. This is, like I said, Wednesday, the 19th day of March. But it's not just Wednesday. No, not by any stretch of the imagination. Not just hump day, not just downhill to Friday. No, brethren and sistren, hallelujah, glory! It is prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Ha, amen. And amen, brethren and sistren, I implore you to open your hearts and open your minds, because prayer meeting Wednesday is underway on the Horn. We have chased the deacons up away from the dessert table down there in the fellowship hall. The little old blue-haired Baptist ladies do such a lovely job with the dinner. We've chased them in from smoking with the sinners out in the parking lot. Got them down front, brethren and sistren. And I'm telling you, it's time for us to get busy here in the sanctuary. Amen and amen. So, brethren and sistren, we will call upon them selfsame deacons to pass the plate. We have, in point of fact, amen, we have a prayer meeting Wednesday, strychnine swigging challenge, on the table for this evening. Brother Asa has put forward an offer to match the first $100 that come in love offerings here to the Cathedral of Common Sense, brethren and sistren. $100 match. You send in 10, he'll double it to 20. See how it works. So as we pass the plate, with every head bowed and every eye closed, brethren and sistren, just hit that little old PayPal button over there to headonradionetwork.com, and we will do some bill paying, because it's miracle time, because we've got a sick and ailing telephone processor, brethren and sistren, that needs the healing hands of faith laid upon it. Amen. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Now, I tell you what, we're going to ask the minister of music to step forward right here, right now, and lead us in the offertory hymn. Again, with every head bowed and every eye closed, glory. Brother Minister of Music, if you would, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me I hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Present for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, he's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the sermon on the mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, many a moolah, saw the gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, tang, whoa, 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 bing, bang. I love you. Hallelujah. Welcome, brethren and sistren, to the Cathedral of Common Sense prayer meeting Wednesday. I call upon you now to come on up out of them seats and come on down, hot glory, down that blood-red aisle and fall upon your knees there in front of the altar and lay your hands, amen, amen, upon the subwoofer and feel the healing rays of common sense a-flowing through you, hot glory, from the server. On high. Amen, amen. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Bob Kincaid, and this here is Prayer Meeting Wednesday. Hot glory. On the horn. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed, brethren and sisters. And sometimes, you understand, sometimes there is a need. There is a need to understand what it is the clergy, like me, are here, are put by the Almighty here on earth to do. That's why, thank God, glory to God, that's why we have Senator Ted Cruz from Texas. Because not only is he good at explaining why it is that grannies need to go hungry and why little children don't need to be eaten so they can do their learning real good in the government schools, he can also explain why it is we need people with a certain kind of spirit out there ministering to our God blessed, God fearing, upstanding armed services. Yes. So here then is Senator Brother Pastor Ted Cruz explaining the purpose, glory, hallelujah, of a chaplain. Because children need this kind of teaching, don't you know? He was talking to the homeschool parents out in Iowa way. Yes, he was. They had a convention of homeschooling parents. You know, the kind of folks that keep their babies at home so that they can make sure that they don't learn none of that demon science all about how the earth is more is older than the written recipe for beer and bread. Amen, glory, hallelujah, don't you know? Yes. The homeschoolers who teach their children all about how it was that Lewis and Clark discovered Hawaii right before the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor. Amen, amen. And how it was that the heroic defenders of faith down there to the Alamo
held off the Japanese for those 13 days of glory. Amen. Yes, tell us about it, brother. Tell us about it, brother Senator Ted.
With you today. Thank you so much. Good afternoon. Let me say especially to all the kids, thanks for being here today. Anyone in this room 5 years old? You're five? Excellent. I have a little girl at home who's five. Her name is Caroline. And I have a little girl at home who's three. Is anyone here three? Is there anyone three? Oh, back there. Hi. So Catherine at home is three. I'll tell you, back in 2012, when we were running the Senate campaign, Caroline was at the time, she was four. And I remember one morning, it was a Saturday morning, about 6 in the morning, and I was up on the phone doing the...
Hold on a darn minute. I think Senator Brother Ted is doing some of that miracle math made easy. Back in 2012, she was four, but she's five now. Maybe they just skipped that demon year with the 13 in it. Maybe that's what it was. You never know.
Video interview. And Caroline woke up and she came bursting into the room to come play with Mommy and Daddy. And Heidi jumped out of bed. She ran over, grabbed Caroline, and she swooped her out of the room to take her to the living room because I was on a radio interview. And Caroline heard that and she crossed her arms. She stomped away and she said, "Politics, politics, politics. It's always politics." So for each of you that was invited to come here today, each of you kids, welcome to the intersection of politics and something a whole lot more important.
Something's
going to
change.
Now, at the same time, I think we need to guard against efforts that would undermine the rights of parents to raise their children. Serving in the Senate, one that is particularly relevant, we need to do everything humanly possible to prevent ratification of the UN Convention on the Rights of a Child.
That's proven. Clap, you idiots, clap. Holy cow. Maybe it's a different kind of chaplain he's talking about. We've got to prevent ratification of the UN Treaty on the Rights of the Child? Because we don't want children to have any rights? I thought this guy was one of those fetus botherers. It's gotten right difficult to tell, I guess. But the UN rights of the child, you know, that's Kenyan Muslim colonialism, hate, and socialism is what that is. Because the blue helmeted thugs, let Ted tell you.
Nothing in international law, nothing in any treaty should be used as a backdoor vehicle to undermine
the... Did he say backdoor? God, this is chapping my butt. Who gives people the design websites this idea that your audio just ought to start running for the F all of it? This is what makes having a producer so daggum fun. All we have to do is find where the stupid audio is. I hate it when prayer meeting Wednesday it gets interrupted by crass commercialism this way. Darn it. Oh, which are you? Oh, goodness me. Okay, let's try this again. He was saying something about the UN wanting to take our back doors. Ted, that's a little gross. But okay.
protects their children. Serving in the Senate, one that is particularly relevant, we need to do everything humanly possible to prevent ratification of the UN Convention on the Rights of a Child.
Yeah, they still love it.
Nothing in international law, nothing in any treaty should be used as a backdoor vehicle to undermine the rights of every parent here to raise your children consistent with your faith, with your good judgment, and the love you have for your children.
Which is convenient, because the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child doesn't do any of that.
Oh, mercy sakes. These right-wing religion industry freaks live, you know, it's funny, they got this profound, strong faith in this really, really all-powerful God, and yet they somehow or another don't have enough faith to trust that all-powerful God to take care of them. Let's see. UN Convention on the Rights of the Child. It's been banging around since 1989. We haven't ratified it yet. Doesn't look like we're ever going to, because, you know, why would a bunch of millionaires in the most exclusive country club on earth ratify a treaty about a bunch of children, you know, people who can't even give them money? Considering that, in accordance with the principles proclaimed in the Charter of the United Nations, recognition of the inherent dignity and the equal and inalienable rights of all members of the human family is the foundation of freedom, justice, and peace in the world, bearing in mind that the peoples of the United Nations have, in the Charter, reaffirmed their faith in fundamental human rights and in the dignity and worth of the human person, and have determined to promote social progress and better standards of life in larger freedom, recognizing that the United Nations has, in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and in the International Covenants on Human Rights, proclaimed and agreed that everyone is entitled to all the rights and freedoms set forth therein, without distinction of any kind, such as race, color, sex, language, religion, political or other opinion, national or social origin, property, birth, or other status, recalling that in the Declaration of Human Rights, the United Nations has proclaimed that childhood is entitled to special care and assistance, convinced that the family, as the fundamental group of society, oh, that sounds really anti-family, doesn't it? And the natural environment for the growth and well-being of all its members, and particularly children, should be afforded the necessary protection and assistance so that it can fully assume its responsibilities within the community. And I tell you, they really are assaulting the foundations of the family unit there, aren't they? And further and further and further. Let's see. I'm just kind of scanning over this again. Senator Pastor Brother Ted is a fetus fetishist, and lo and behold, Article 6 states parties recognize that every child has the inherent right to life. States parties shall ensure to the maximum extent possible the survival and development of the child. Well, I'm sure Jesus hates all that. Oh, here we go. Oh, there's the problem. Article 7. The child shall be registered immediately. With the UN! Next, they'll want to be registering our guns. After birth, and shall have the right from birth to a name, the right to acquire a nationality, and as far as possible, the right to know and be cared for by his or her parents. States parties shall ensure the implementation of these rights in accordance with their national law. Their national law, not Sharia law or anything, and their obligations under the relevant international instruments in this field, in particular where the child would otherwise be stateless. Parties shall ensure that a child shall not be separated from his or her parents against their will. Let's see here. What else? We got family reunification. I mean, this thing goes on for a while. It'd take about 3 hours to read the whole thing on the air. But I don't see where the hissy is. But then again, that's the brilliance of a Ted Cruz. He has the magical, God-given pastor, brother, Senator Ted Cruz ability to find paranoid conspiracies where they don't even exist. Do continue, Senator, brother, Pastor Ted.
And that leads to the third thing I want to talk about, which is religious liberty. There are a great many challenges in this country right now. There is the challenge of restoring jobs and economic growth, which is absolutely vital. There's the challenge...
And about which he has done absolutely nothing. But you ever notice when they get to talking about religious liberty, it's always the liberty to be religious, and it's never the liberty to be left alone by the religious people? Yeah, it's rather a twisted definition. Yeah, you're absolutely free to worship whatever God I like.
Of reining in spending and debt that is threatening our kids, which is absolutely vital. But there is also the challenge of our constitutional liberties being undermined. And there is no liberty more important than our religious liberty.
Yeah, the liberty to eat food, not as important as religious liberty. The liberty to breathe clean air and drink clean water and bathe in the stuff, and not as important as religious liberty. The liberty to not be sawed in half at the tender age of six years old by an AR-15 wielding madman who walks into an elementary school, not nearly as important as religious liberty. Man, they got their priorities, don't they?
There is a reason that the very first thing protected in the First Amendment to the Bill of Rights is our religious liberty.
There is a reason. And the reason is they didn't come out in any particular order. It could just as easily have been 10th. It is not, it's not a continuum. This is most important, but not having to quarter troops is slightly less important. I mean, if what Ted Cruz is saying here is so, the NRA is going to be right upset with him, because that means that the right to protect freedom with your freedom-protecting Protector Wood firearm is second to religious liberty and free speech. And we all know you can't have no free speech unless you got freedom-protecting firearms. What you talking about, Senator Brother Pastor Ted?
I've been blessed to have had the opportunity for many years to play a role helping defend our religious liberty.
Yeah, out there fighting the culture wars, singing Onward Christian Soldiers. Y'all, let's you and him fight, right? Name one damn thing this useless bag of skin has ever done to defend anything except his own damn checkbook.
I was in the Senate. I was the Solicitor General of Texas. It's the chief lawyer for the state in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. Over and over again, we had the opportunity to defend religious liberty. In Texas, on the state capitol grounds, there's a monument to the Ten Commandments.
Of course there is. There's also a monument that talks about how, and I remember Dr. John telling us about this, there's a monument on the state capitol grounds of Texas that talks about how, Texas was part of the treason states that lost the Civil War, but it wasn't for want of trying. Yeah, religious liberty in Texas. I recall that case from a few years back where some religious freaks beat the tar out of a teenage girl trying to exorcise the demons out of her. This is real. You can look it up. And when she got old enough to sue, because, you know, when you're underage, you have to, any legal action has to be taken by your guardian or your next friend or whatever the legal system calls it. But once you turn 18, if nothing has been resolved, you can go out and choose your own representation. And so the young woman turned 18, and she sued the bunch of strychnine swilling, tongue-speaking, floor-rolling, snake-handling goons who had beat the tar out of her trying to get the demons out of her. She sued them. And, of course, religious liberty was defended because the Supreme Court of the state of Texas said, honey, even though they beat the snot out of you trying to get the demons out, obviously they failed because you're suing them, and only a demon would do that. Even though they did that, you can't sue the church because religious liberty.
See, if you sued the church for beating the tar out of you trying to get the demons out of you, and you made them pay you money for the injuries you sustained, then that would quell their First Amendment rights. And we can't have that. So you're just going to have to accept that some things happen in this life, lady. Sometimes you just have to get the snot kicked out of you by some religiously insane fundamentalist bastards. And you know what you ought to do? You know what you ought to do, sugar? You ought to thank God they didn't exercise you so good you did. That's what you ought to do. Really? That's what defending religious liberty means in Texas.
It's been there since 1961. An individual plaintiff, an atheist, a homeless man, filed a lawsuit seeking to tear down that monument.
What does his homeless status have to do, you know, those individual homeless atheists out there trying to destroy our religious liberty? Of course, it never occurs to a senator, pastor, brother Ted, that religious liberty does also have a negative quality, and that is not to have religion rammed down anything or up anything or wrapped around anything. See what I mean? But he sued to try to make them tear down that monument that's been there since 1961. You remember back when folks like Senator Pastor Brother Ted's daddy were hollering about what a comm simp John F. Kennedy was, and by God, they did something about it, didn't they?
Texas defended the Ten Commandments monument. We went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, and we won 5-4.
In 10 innings. Clap, you monkeys.
You'll all remember about the same time there was a case out of California where another atheist filed another lawsuit seeking to strike down the Pledge of Allegiance because it includes the words "one nation under God,"
which had been inserted there about
Texas
7 years before.
Together all 50 states before the U.S. Supreme Court defending the Pledge of Allegiance, and we won unanimously. And one of the cases I'm most proud of was having the opportunity to represent over 3 million veterans defending the constitutionality of the Mojave Desert Veterans Memorial.
Oh, Jesus, not that. Oh, go on, Senator, Pastor, Brother Ted.
That is a memorial, a lone white Latin cross that was erected over 70 years ago to honor the men and women who gave their lives in World War I. The ACLU filed a lawsuit seeking to tear down that memorial. And the lower courts agreed with the ACLU and ordered that 70-year-old memorial to our veterans be taken down because you could not gaze on the image of a cross on federal lands.
Yeah, that was why they did it. Because it's clearly unconstitutional, all that cross gazing. What a liar this man is. Truly, he is a servant of the Prince of Darkness, if there is one. And if there isn't one, it's pretty clear that he's auditioning for the job. Actually, the rulings had to do with the fact that you can't say that you're honoring the veterans of World War I by putting up a cross, because not everybody who fought in World War I and became a veteran thereof was a Christian! Oh, sure, yeah. Well, absolutely, we're honoring the World War I veterans who were Jewish by putting up a cross. And we're honoring the World War veterans who were Muslim by putting up a cross. And we're honoring the World War I veterans who were Hindu by putting up a cross. Honest to God, if this man's brains were gas, he wouldn't have enough to fill up a piss ant's motorcycle and run halfway around a BB.
We went to the U.S. Supreme Court on behalf of over 3 million veterans defending the Mojave Desert Veterans Memorial, and we won 5-4.
In 12 innings.
And I have to tell you now, with the current administration, we have never seen an administration with such hostility to religious faith.
That's why all the religiously faithful are being rounded up by the people in the blue helmets and sent off to the FEMA re-education camps, and they're standing there under the guard tower and under the gaze of machine guns by barbed wire fences, patrolled by dogs, and selling rosaries back and forth to each other. That's why. Only it's not.
You've seen instances of the IRS asking...
Say it. Benghazi!
...in citizen groups, tell us what books you're reading. Tell us the content of your prayers.
Yeah, because they never said that. Jesus, the lying is strong with this one. Tell us the books you're reading. Silly IRS, wingnuts don't read books. The only book they have is the Bible, and they don't read it, they thump it.
Let me tell you something. The federal government has no business asking any American the content of our prayers.
Agent Fred, are you listening? NSA boys? Yeah, I imagine the pizza just got delivered. I know you guys enjoy the program, so you know, thanks very much. It'd be nice if you'd kick in a contribution once in a while. It really would. But I'm happy telling you the content of my prayers. Well, one, I don't pray because I think it's a silly waste of time. But if I did, I would be praying for one of those Warner Brothers cartoon-style 2,000-pound weights to just right on Senator Ted Cruz. And then, you know, he gets up and walks away kind of accordion style. Because he's a cartoon character. Oh, Jesus.
We see men and women in the military having their religious liberty rights curtailed, servicemen and women being told they risk discipline if they share their faith with others.
You know, like when we put Bible verses engraved on the barrels of the guns that we use to blow away Afghan people. No, we really do. We do that. Or maybe some of the soldiers who drag their... drag their shells through pig fat so they'll be extra deadly when they hit the non-pig-eating Muslims. That's been done too. So they're not our poor bedraggled members of the military ain't got no religious freedoms no more. Never mind the fact that all four branches, in particular the Air Force, are absolutely Jesus right up into the clouds with fundamentalists all over the place, and people like Mikey Weinstein from the Military Religious Freedom Foundation gets death threats if he tries to take note of the fact that not everybody in the Air Force is a fundamentalist evangelical Christian.
No one who steps forward to defend our nation, to risk their life, to defend our constitutional rights, sacrifices their constitutional rights at the doorstep.
Bullshit. I mean, just pure, unmitigated BS. Because when you sign on the dotted line, whether you be enlisted or an officer, and the veteran, the many, 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 many veterans who are members of the Horn family commune can attest this, you give up all kinds of constitutional rights. I mean, the First Amendment, you know, because it's the most important one, according to Senator Pastor Brother Ted, those guarantees of freedom of speech. Well, that applies specifically to the government of which the military is a part, not being able to suppress your freedom of speech. And yet, oddly enough, the buck private cannot walk up to the five-star general and say, "Hey, asshole!" Well, I mean, he can, but then he will be punished for that with a friendly little term at, you know, maybe Leavenworth. I think that's called, what, insubordination?
Oh,
This guy's... And the funny thing is, it just absolutely blows my mind that there are people out there, especially in the for-profit media, who say that this man's a genius. I mean, he went to Harvard and stuff. Jesus Christ, so did George W. Bush. And look where that got us.
You know, last year there was a chaplain in the Air Force up in Alaska who wrote in a blog post the phrase, "There are no atheists in foxholes." He was ordered by a supervising officer to take it down. I guess it was deemed insensitive to atheists. I kind of thought it was the job of the chaplain to be insensitive to atheists.
Ain't he funny? Oh, he's so funny. I thought it was the job of chaplains to be insensitive to atheists. You jerk. I thought it was the job of Christian chaplains to make sure and convert the heathen unbelievers. Ho, ho, ho. This freak really does want himself a theocracy. Yearns for it. Aches for it.
Dr. John noticed something in the front end of Senator Pastor Brother Ted's little speechifying subject line. Cute story by Senator Ted. Nice little domestic image, adorable line about his daughter, and then, boom, crazy hateful. Can we call Child Protective Services to look in on those girls? Wouldn't be a bad idea, but remember, Child Protective Services never shows up to check on the well-heeled, especially when they're well-heeled senator, pastor, brother, senator, and type people. Yeah, just hateful. A little piece of advice coming in from Irish Dave. Bob, Bob, Bob. Bob, Bob, Iran. Bob, Bob, Bob. No. Reread your historical book. It was clearly Martin and Lewis that discovered Hawaii, too, also Vegas.
Yes, it was Martin and Lewis.
Yeah, dang. Also, with regard to... You know, the second Amendment being second, Irish Dave points out, the second commandment to the Holy Constitution has to try harder. The only way to stop a guy with a bad debt is a guy with a good debt. Oof. And by the way, while we're talking about monuments, Dr. John asks, where's the monument to the World War I resistors and objectors? Those people are heroes. It could be an iron sculpture of Eugene V. Debs in a prison cell. These people are applauding tens of thousands of young men and women who died for capitalism and monarchy, and they call themselves Americans? Yeah, and they call, and Dr. John, they call you un-American for pointing out that maybe it was stupid to go and fight a war for capitalism and monarchy. I love that line from the union organizer and John Sayles' mate one talking about why he was a conscientious objector and a resistor. Speaking of the First World War, he said, "All I saw was workers killing workers," which is what World War I was. And by the way, in case you missed it, here we are, you know, come August, it'll be 100 years since that bloodthirsty, capitalism-driven, monarchical, ego-fueled abattoir was opened up in the heart of Europe. And 100 years on, the First World War, the Great War, is still leaving a legacy of blood. In Ypres, in Belgium, a World War I artillery shell exploded. Killing 2 people. I guess it's true. You never hear the one that gets you. Oh, and by the way, here's our bloodthirsty, loving God Bible verse for the day, courtesy of Jake Cruzen. Genesis chapter 38. And it came to pass at that time that Judah went down from his brethren and turned into a certain Adullamite whose name was Hira. And Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shua. And he took her and went in unto her. And she conceived and bare a son, and he called his name Er. Honey, what are we going to name the baby? And she conceived again and bare a son, and she called his name Onan. And she yet again conceived and bare a son, and called his name Shelah. And he was at Chezeb when she bare him. And Judah took a wife for his firstborn, whose name was Tamar. Hey, kid, what's your name? What? And Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord. Well, maybe not, there was no UN convention on the rights of the child back then, and the whole idea of a child having a right to a name. What's that one? Hey, honey, I can never remember. We got Onan, and there's Sheila, and what's the other one's name? You can't remember either? No, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord slew him. You know, because the Lord is the Lord of love. And Judah said unto Onan, go in unto thy brother's wife, and marry her, and raise up seed to thy brother. Now, why you would want to do this when was already wicked in the sight of the Lord? Oh, you were talking to me, God? I just thought you had a stammer, like the one you done give to Aaron. Or, no, maybe it was Moses had the stammer. Kind of reminds me of the, you remember the little animated thing at the end of Buffy the Vampire Slayer every episode? Yeah. Anyway, so Judah tells Onan, go in unto thy brother's wife, and marry her, and raise up seed to thy brother. And Onan knew that the seed should not be his. And it came to pass, when he went in unto his brother's wife, that he spilled it on the ground, lest that he should give seed to his brother. And the thing which he did displeased the Lord, wherefore he slew him also. You know, we don't know what the wicked thing was that did. But apparently not wanting to have sex with your dead brother's wife, well, that pissed off the almighty, all-loving, all-knowing, all-seeing. Did I mention all-loving God so much that poor old Onan got slewed? So just thank you, Jake Cruzen. That's one of my very favorite loving God Bible stories. God, really? I don't want to know. I mean, no. Okay, then die, because I love you. So just to recount that religious liberty that Senator Pastor Brother Ted Cruz is so enamored of protecting involves holding forth that it was somehow righteous and good for a man to be slain by the all-loving, all-knowing God because he refused to rape his brother's widow. That's some good God. Ain't God good? Yeah. A little pronunciation help. Apparently, thank you, Dr. John. Y-P-R-E-S, where the shell exploded. It's a tough call. Dr. John says, maybe I'm wrong. The commune can help me. I assumed it was said the French way, i.e. the final S is not voiced, and the E disappears. So like eep, with a quiet, almost swallowed R. Eep. Maybe it is. That would actually make more sense, because there is no accent aigu or accent grave over the E. How do I know what those are? Because W.C. Fields. Isn't that Egbert Souse? No, dear, it's Sousse. Accent grave over the E. Sousse. They said, Sousse, it's going to be bigger than Gone with the Wind. Yeah. Next time you need a good giggle, do yourself a favor and fire up the bank dick. This is no longer an English living room drama from now on. It's a circus picture. A reminder from Jack in Shreveport. Don't forget, the religious liberty Ted Cruz is talking about only applies to his religion. Right, because you know, nobody else needs it. Irish Dave wants to know, how was Ur dressed? We don't know. Heavens to Betsy. But since Pastor Brother Ted was talking about how them chaplains are supposed to be intolerant of atheists, let's check in, and you can thank me later for the fact that there is no audio to this. Let's check in with America's favorite disgraced former chaplain, Chappie Gordon Klingenschmitt. Here, have a tissue. He's out emailing again, and he's still pissed off about Senator Al Franken's Student Non-Discrimination Act. This, of course, is what Chappie calls the Homosexual Classrooms Act. You know, disco ball hanging in every classroom. The teacher speaks with 138 beats per minute. You know. So, among other things, in his ongoing libel and slander campaign against Senator Franken, Chappie, who, remember, was drummed out of the Navy chaplaincy because he insisted that even if he was praying with a Muslim or a Hindu or a Jew or a Jain or what have you, that he had to pray in Jesus' name, because his religious fanaticism was more important than the law of the United States. Let's see. Slurring Senator Franken, he says, one half of all adult... This is an email that he sent out to fundraise on the backs of to gay. One half of all adult homosexuals report having been victims of sexual abuse before 13. And here's the text of Chappie Klingenschmitt, whom I'm sure Senator Pastor Brother Ted Cruz absolutely adoreth. I mean, not that he would go in and marrieth up on or his wife or put it unto her or whatever it is that the Holy Book says. Minors are not mentally mature enough to consent to sex with adults, which makes it statutory rape. Did you know the average age of first sexual experience for heterosexuals is 17, but for homosexuals it is 12? Does that mean if you have your first sexual experience before you're 17, that you're bi? 12 to be gay, 17 to be straight, and somewhere in between, I guess, is bi. One half of all adult homosexuals report having been victims of sexual abuse before age 13. You know what? The numbers of those who have been sexually abused as children is huge in this country, male and female alike. But it has nothing to do with gay or straight. Adult sexual abuse of children is about violence. It's about power. talking about love. Child molesting is therefore a favorite recruiting tool of adult homosexuals. They violate children, and when the victim is later confused, they lie and say, "You were born that way." Huh? Somebody chase this guy down with a really big butterfly net. So, homosexuals are the ones who do all the child abusing, and they do it as a recruiting tool. Recruiting. You know, you got your Army recruiter, your Navy recruiter, your Marine recruiter, your Air Force recruiter, your Coast Guard recruiter, your Merchant Marine recruiter, and, oh, the gay, the homosexual recruiter. But now, of course, in America, because we've gone to hell, they can just do their recruiting there in the military. We want you. We want you. We want you as a new recruit in the Navy. This summer, Franken, not even a Senator Franken, this summer, Franken snuck his pro-bullying legislation, which threatens to defund any public school that fails to promote homosexuality, bullying Christian kids to reject their parents' religious beliefs. Sometimes I feel a little bit like Christopher Lloyd, you know, back in his Reverend Jim days on Taxi. By inserting, there's always got to be some inserting, the language from his failed Homosexual Classrooms Act, a.k.a. student non-discrimination, into Senator Tom Harkin, D. Iowa's Elementary and Secondary Education Act, formerly known as No Child Left Behind. So in one sentence, we get inserting and behind by a rabid anti-gay guy. Nah, just keep smoking, Doc. Really, it's not that's easy. The result is Al Franken's No Child Left Unmolested Amendment. Lying in the name of Jesus. By a minister. Who the thunk? Which mandates a pro-homosexual federal curricula. Chappie, that would be a pro-homosexual federal curriculum. I guess the chaplain never got around to taking Latin, which is kind of astonishing, but then again, maybe not. Curricula is plural. Unless there is more than one pro-homosexual curriculum. For all public schools, and defunds any school that resists. He deceptively campaigns it will stop bullying, but actually it bullies your Christian kids and teachers, removing power from parents and school boards by threatening to withhold funds if they refuse to teach kids that sin is normal. Chappie, you wouldn't recognize normal if it came up and introduced itself to you on the street. Can't you just see him there? Humping away at his lady wife. Tell me more about the homos. God, it's disgusting. But why are we surprised? And then there's Janet Mefford. She's got a right-wing blather program. And when she went to blathering yesterday, she declared a new fatwa. Really? Who is it? Ford? Disney? Jaguar? What? No! Let's let Janet tell you.
The Graham Cracker brand has released an ad that shows real-life modern families in all their diverse glory, from gay and multiracial to rock and roll. The voiceover says, everyday wholesome snacks for every wholesome family. So the question is, what do you mean wholesome?
The question is, what do you mean rock and roll family? What the is a rock and roll family? The Who? Kiss? The Chili Peppers? The Stones?
What the, is a rock and roll family? Rock and roll, Dad!
Rock and roll, son.
Rock and roll, Mommy. Rock and roll, honey.
Yeah. Janet Mefford is mad at graham crackers. I wish I was making this up. Unfortunately, I'm not. Let's check. Okay, let's go back to the wholesomeness.
How we are seeing is everyday wholesome snacks for every wholesome family. So the question is, what do you mean wholesome? Now we are seeing wholesome, a word that has historically referred to things that are very clean and very moral and very upstanding and very pure, now being part of the verbiage of the Honey Maid ad. It is still early in the campaign's launch, but Honey Maid had yet to face the same backlash for its more inclusive marketing as Cheerios did, or Coca-Cola for that matter. Yeah, but the Cheerios thing was about interracial families, wasn't it? Does anybody really get upset about that anymore? I don't know.
Honey, you're not Honey Maid. Janet Honey Maid Mefford. She's got a new nickname. Honey Maid. If you don't think anybody got upset about the Cheerios ad, you weren't paying attention. I mean, those are your people, the ones that had the hissy about the Cheerios ad.
That's a completely different thing.
Oh.
They say that positive comments dominated the brand's Facebook page and YouTube platform recently. The company wrote in an email to HuffPo, as a brand that has been a part of families' lives for nearly 90 years, Honey Maid recognizes that while the makeup and day-to-day lives of families have evolved, I love that word. The idea.
Oh, can't you tell she does? Can't have any evolving out there. Love that word. It's almost like just saying the word makes her feel the flapping bat wings of little demons around her head.
The idea and importance of wholesome family connections remains the same. So I was just talking to Peter LaBarber, my friend from Americans for Truth, about this, and he said, so is Honey Maid redefining the word wholesome? They don't say they're redefining the word wholesome, but at any rate, this is where we are. So we.
But by God, they're Janet Mefford is assaulting freedom. Remember, freedom is the freedom to choose from 29 different brands of breakfast cereal and 3 or 4 different brands of graham crackers. Freedom's just another word for no graham crackers left to lose.
If Honey Maid graham crackers now getting on the bandwagon.
And then there was her Facebook page where she said, Honey Maid graham crackers features homosexual couples, redefines wholesome. I am so done with this brand, which stinks because they're really good. I am also even more done with the constant onslaught from the gay propaganda machine. Well, you know what this means? Gay folks, LGBTQ community, and allies are going to have to go. No more cheaper in-store brand graham crackers for you. You got to buy the Honey Maids. Because we're just going to have to take up the capitalist slack for all these fundies out there who are going to give up on Honey Maid graham crackers and go and... But if they buy the store brand, they may have been made in the same factory. It's just a different brand. Oh, dear. Well, maybe there's still Teddy Grahams for you, Janet. Dadgum, you poor thing. By the way, this coming in from our buddy Mark, from a concerned veteran for peace. When is Ted Cruz going to show us his U.S. citizenship papers to the American public? Maybe he's an illegal alien? I don't know that... I don't know. I'm willing to believe that Senator Pastor Brother Ted, Mark, I'm willing to believe that he's an alien. But, I mean, in the came from planet Norblap 12 kind of...